G'day. First real touches of winter for many. The good thing about the podcast is that you can listen anytime and re-listen and replay. That's what I do because the things people say are marvellous. Don't you reckon? You light up my life. Enjoy. G'day, this is Macca.
G'day, Macca. How's it going? Barry from Tennant Creek.
G'day, Barry. What's happening, mate?
Well, with Trevor resigning this week, I just thought, life's too short. I've got to talk to a Macca at least once in my life because, you know.
For once in my life, I've got to talk to Macca.
After about 300 years on air, I mean, you know, you've got to go one day. Nobody lasts forever.
No, exactly. Exactly. It might be today, Barry. You never know. What's happening in the creek, mate? You're a local, are you?
Well, I live here. I wasn't born here, so I'd never be a local. You know what it's like. Mm. But we had cracker night this week.
What?
Cracker night.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've heard, but I couldn't believe it.
It's just insane, mate. Every year, I just wonder, you know, how much longer than this can this go on for? Not that I disapprove, but, you know, it's absolute madness. Like, there's some people that go down and spend $1,000. There's some people that spend $10,000 on crackers.
You know? Oh, really?
Seriously. Yes, yeah. There's a couple of stations that come in with trailers. They pre-order and they pick up a $10,000 or $20,000 order. You know, there was one guy, he set the record. He won the beer can regatta as well. He's, you know, a true Territorian. He spent $40,000 on crackers.
He must be crackers.
And it just goes on and goes on and goes on. Talk about cold. Mate, it's 16 degrees here at the moment. I've got all the heavy artillery on and I'm shivering.
You've got, yes, well, just it's layers, Barry. They'll tell you down south, that's what you do. You just have to put more layers on. 16 degrees is not bad, actually, Barry, but I know it's for you in the territory. That's a cool one.
Mate, anything under 20, we're putting on the long pants.
Yes, and getting counselling. Well, cracker night used to be a big thing here, didn't everywhere, but then it was banned. Not good for the dogs and kids and stuff, but, I mean, if you've got 40 grand and up in a puff of smoke, really, I mean, gee, I don't know.
He is a prominent businessman and, you know, he invites all the employees around and they put on a big barbecue or several barbecues cooking, you know. It's just one way of expressing yourself. The old saying is, if you're happy in the territory, you blow things up, you know.
So, Barry, what are you going to do with yourself? You're living out your life in Tennant?
Well, I can't see myself moving, you know. I'm happy enough here. It's lovely. It doesn't get too cold. It doesn't get, excessively hot. We only get up to about 46, 47 here.
Mm.
You know,
I thought you'd love, 16 degrees. The cool mornings are wonderful. I mean, the air's crisp. You can see the stars really well, and there's something nice about it. I thought you'd be embracing the little bit of winter you have, if you know what I mean.
All summer, I dream about this weather.
Mm.
And then all winter, I dream about summer, you know. But we get about 30 days a year where it's absolutely perfect. You know, you wouldn't be anywhere else. It's just fantastic.
Well, Barry, it's good to know you're happy, mate. And nice to talk to you. Thanks for ringing. And
you've made my day, Macca. You've made my day. You're a true legend. You're an Australian legend.
Exactly.
And I did chase you around when you did your big Australia tour.
On the G'day tour.
The West Coast.
Yeah.
But I was always like 4 or 5 days behind you. You drove too quickly, you know. You got to drink a bit more.
Yeah, I got pulled up by the police too, but he was only after a t-shirt and a hat.
Love your work, Macca.
And a key ring. Good on you, Baz.
See you, mate.
See you, mate. Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Hey, Macca, it's Tomo.
Tomo.
Yeah, mate, Adibor.
Oh, hello, Tomo. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Just talking about the weather.
Mm.
I don't know whether you're aware, there's a massive high pressure system down over the Bight, and one of the weather things that I look at saying that it might get up to 1,042, 43 hectopascals, and that'll break the record which was set in 1967. and it's forcing all the lows further down south. But they're saying that there'll be no wind, it'll be very frosty, and some places in Tasmania will get down to minus 10.
Whoa, wow. Yeah. See, I don't know, Ebor, you're traditionally, along with a few other places around the place, one of the coldest places can be in Australia. Have you had a big winter there in Ebor?
I only had a couple of frosts, but I haven't looked outside. I'm sitting in the van or the motorhome at the moment with the fan heater going.
Mm.
And, 0 degrees or minus one this morning.
Yeah.
And last winter on the 2nd of August, I was telling Lee, I was washing the yards out, and I looked out and I thought, that's not rain, that's snow, and it started snowing. And five and a half hours later, it stopped, but it was heavy as. And I got to build a snowman, which was one of my childhood dreams.
Are you a great watcher of the weather patterns on the net and stuff like that?
Yeah. I look at the bomb and Higgins storm chasing is one of the best. You know, just the information that they give out about what's happening and everything like that is very good.
Yeah. So and it affects your work too, I suppose. If you're working outside, especially in winter, and as I said, you can get cold in Ebor.
Yeah, well, I think the first year, I've been here 3.5 years, I finish up in a couple of weeks, which is not my choice, but I think the first year we were putting up fences and it was like -9 and you couldn't feel your fingers, it was freezing.
Jeez, that's hard. So what are you going to do? You're travelling on, or what are you going to do?
Oh, I'll put myself on grey nomads and I don't want to go back because I've been here 3.5 years sort of thing, and, I just like it out here.
Yeah, well, you're a bit removed, aren't you? There's not, you can compare what you do to what I do, navigating the traffic in Sydney all the time, which is a bit of a pain in the neck, even at, it's almost permanent peak hour in Sydney, and same in Melbourne and in the other big cities. Out there, yeah, you've got time to think.
I grew up in the Shire, at Cronulla, and, moved up the coast. And, I've been surfing for, 55 years plus, but it's just too dangerous in the water with the idiots in the water now and fuck the sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
And, and I just like the bush now. It's just peaceful. Good.
Tomo, stay warm. Good on you, mate.
All right, man.
See
you. Love your show, Macca.
Thanks, Tomo. Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
G'day, Macca, this is Caroline. How you doing?
Good, thanks, Caroline.
So I heard you talking about young Tom from last week and you were looking for pilots to call in. Well,
I was wondering if they were listening. Yeah, go on.
Well, I sure am. I'm heading in to Sydney Airport now to fly the morning flight from Sydney to Queenstown.
Wow. What sort of plane? For who are you flying for?
The two big airlines.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm flying the 737.
Oh, all right. And how long have you been doing that, Carolyn?
I've been flying for 15 years commercially with the airlines.
And, gee, the planes are getting big now, aren't they? I mean, you're probably flying one of the older planes, probably about 5 or 10 years old, but some of these new planes, they're huge, aren't they?
They are enormous. It blows my mind how big those A380s are. It's just insane that that can even get into the air.
Mm. And why did why did you become a pilot, Carolyn? You went up the front as a little kid, have people, that's what Thomas said.
All the time.
Yeah?
All the time. I grew up, show my age a bit here, but I grew up in the 80s when the flight deck was open season, the kids would go to visit. I've got so many photos around my parents' houses with me sat in the flight deck, as a 4 or 5 year old. And it's one of my favourite parts of the job to do that for little kids now. We get so many adorable visitors, especially in the holidays. It's one of my favourite things to loan them my hat and take a great photo for mum and dad because it's just such a special, special keepsake.
Oh, yes. And you know all about the weather too. Did you hear Tomo just talking about the high in the bite and it'll get cold probably in Queenstown and places like that very shortly?
It will. I checked the forecast for Queenstown. It's currently 4 degrees, snowing, finally, because it's been far too warm.
Yeah.
And it might even get a big dump overnight tonight. So crossing fingers for all the holidaymakers. I'm about to fly across the ditch.
Good on you, Carolyn. Great to talk to you. Thanks for ringing.
Likewise. Have a good one, Macca. All the best.
See ya. Bye. This is my friend Malcolm. Good morning, Mal.
Good day, Macca. How are you? Happy Sunday.
Thank you very much. What's happening, mate? What are you doing?
Well, about 20, 30 minutes out of the Gold Coast for their annual Gold Coast Marathon. And I was just calling to say I've got my biggest audience today of 40,000 plus.
And you're going up to play. There's a marathon in Penrith, or a half marathon today. Yeah. So,
oh, it's a half.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think we played the half yesterday between 6 in the morning and 9, which is super cold. We play, as you know, a bit of brass that early in the morning seems to be almost illegal. But
yeah,
30,000 people thought it was the best concert they've ever seen, the quickest one. And then I've got a captive audience that we're playing. My team's at the 39-kilometre mark. And when I did it last year, that's like it's only 40-something Ks, only 40 Ks. Last year I told them, keep going, you're halfway. And then they gave me the most peculiar looks. Some even gave me finger gestures. And I thought they wanted another song or two more songs. And then someone said, dude, you've got to shut up. It's 39 Ks. I've only got 8 to go or something. I went, oh, dude. So anyway, I won't be doing that today. It's just trumpet and drums today.
Uh-huh.
And then there's saxophone and drums. And then there's two drummers.
Well, that's a good idea. I think it's nice. It would be nice for the runners, yeah, I think. And nice for the crowd too. Great.
It's great. There's eight live musicians working today with one of the largest audiences we've had collectively in years. And the sound of the clapping, you think people are clapping, it's actually their feet on the pavement.
Where does it go to and from on the coast, mate?
It starts from Southport, goes down the coastline, comes back up. We pick them up in Runaway Bay, and our little teams are interspersed just to help with that. We call trackside enhancement entertainment experience.
Yeah, I find the whole thing about running marathons, well, not crazy. It's I'd never do it, and I don't think I'd do it when I was young either, you know, when I was 15 or 16. But people love to do it. It's the fitness thing. We're a bit like the old Athens back in Greek mythology where the fitness was the whole and the human body was the thing. And people who run and they're in gyms, and gyms are everywhere, as you know, Malcolm. I don't see you in a gym, but
I'm a good life member. You know, they get there at 5:30 in the morning and
leave at quarter six.
The old fellas go, you know, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm just showing up, mate. I'm just going to show up.
Yeah,
you know, and but the gym's interesting because now they replaced all the video stores.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah, but they're everywhere, aren't they? They are everywhere. Everywhere you drive, gyms, so, lots of equipment.
I think you've got gyms mowing, gym window washing.
Yeah, it's not what I was talking about, Malcolm. All right, so you'll finish. What time does that finish, roughly?
Well, today I got the short straw. I've got 8 till 12, so it's 4 hours straight. So I should have gone to the gym instead, but this is 4 hours straight of playing the theme from Rocky and various other Australiana songs.
And did you say it's cool on the coast this morning?
I'd probably say it's probably between 10 and 16 degrees, I'd say. So it's a bit of a rug up, but after an hour, you take the scarf off, take your thermals off and put your running shorts on and get into it, you know?
Well, it's the same in Tennant Creek, mate. It's about 16 degrees there this morning. But I'd like to be in Tennant Creek. It'd be nice and quiet. I enjoy the quiet, but you won't have much quiet this morning, not with the music and the sound of running feet. It'll be great.
Absolutely. 40,000 people clapping with their feet is something to be really striving for today.
Good on you, Mal.
Good on you, Macca. Have a beautiful day.
See you, mate. Bye.
See you, mate.
Where are you, Andrew?
On the M2, just coming up to the turn off to Old Windsor Road.
In Sydney, just out of Sydney.
Yeah. I've just come down.
Go on, you're right. Keep going.
I've loaded cattle out of Silverdale in Queensland yesterday. I was fully loaded by about 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just coming down now, to go out to Ebenezer near Windsor.
Well, that's a big trip, mate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to pull up for your brakes and that, you know. Yeah, I come down through Warwick, Gundawindi, Narrabri, that way, and then up down through Willow Tree and that, and the Hunter Expressway.
What have you been seeing on the road, Andrew? Anything interesting?
A lot of cattle trucks on the road, going both ways. A lot of there may be doubles with grain. A lot of grain going at Newcastle, I'd say, for the boats.
Yeah.
A lot of grain trucks. You know. Then that VP yesterday going to Windy. There was like two oversized blokes there with 776 dump trucks on. One of the blokes' trucks, I'd say something had gone pretty wrong with it because there was a lot of steam coming out of it, you know. A lot of wide loads too on the road, eh? Like dump truck bodies, you know.
Now, Andrew, the cattle, are they going north? And you said going north and going south.
Cattle trucks, a lot of them on the road,
And why is that? Why is that, do you reckon?
Because of the weather, you know, and just the demand for meat, you know. But a lot of them be going into the processors. Just both ways, you know,
How long you been driving, Andrew?
This morning I've been on about 2 hours, mate. I slept on the truck stop there on the Hunter Expressway.
No, but I mean, how long you been driving?
Over 20 years, yeah.
Yeah. And you still enjoying it? Still enjoy it?
I don't do it. I only just cut all my own cattle. I don't, do it for anyone else. Like, I'm in a Mac, a brand new Mac, 780 horsepower, one of the new 780s. It's only got 8,138 Ks on it, you know.
What's the TikTok?
That noise is the blinker. I'm about to pull on the whole wings of the road.
All right. Good on you, Andrew. I'll bump you sometime. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Well, then, see ya.
See you, mate. Bye. Chris is near Tenderfield. Morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Mac. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Mate, long time listener, like any first time caller. Good to finally speak with you.
Thank you. What are you up to?
Mate, I'm cruising down the New England Highway. I've just left Wollongarra, coming into Tenderfield. Got a certain song ringing around in my head, something about a saddler. I'm just basically working and travelling. And, I'm heading out west to Narrabri, out to a farm I'm on out there at the moment.
Mm.
And, mate, I can't understand how people say they're unemployed. There's so much work available away from the cities. You know, farm life, ag work, harvest seasons, prepping. You know, farmers are screaming out for staff. And they take whatever backpacker they can, and good on them, the backpackers are out there having a crack.
Yeah.
But I can't understand how we got unemployed kids in the city, so just don't want to get away. And hearing the young fella who went from Sydney to Toowoomba to get his pilot's license, you know?
Yeah.
18, good on him, have a go.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. What sort of work do you do, Chris?
Mate, well, I'm coming up to 65. I retired at 60. My wife and I returned to Thailand, up in northeast Thailand, up near Laos. Built our house. I got bored and said, a friend's going to go do a season on a header out at Goondiwindi. So I went and did a season on summer harvest. And, mate, after a mixed career of ex-defence and 25 years of managing whinging people, I wish I'd returned to ag 40 years ago, you know. Like, I grew up in the Riverina on ag and went away and joined the army and did all that other stuff. And, coming back to ag, I just love it. The gear is good. You know, it's all modernised. It's got fridges on board and GPS and all that sort of stuff. And it's just good modern gear, you know. And just waking up out in the plains and looking at the sunrise and seeing the sunsets and, mate, mental health tick. It's just like, why didn't I do this years ago, you know? I just love it. So one season has turned into four seasons. It's taken me... I've worked anywhere from Darwin down to Melbourne. There's just so much work available. And once you build a bit of a profile, everyone knows everybody in ag, so you can't badmouth any farm. It'll come back to you. It's just so easy to find work. So I'm going back to Thailand in two weeks. I'll I'll go up there and play golf and try to get below 90 for about 2 months. And then I'll come back and I'll do a summer harvest. And then I'll go back for another 2 or 3 months. And then I'll come back. And I'm pretty much 50-50 Australia time at the moment. And
it sounds like the ideal life, Chris. You're loving, and that's the main thing. If you're loving your job, and especially out there, you know, it's I miss being out in the morning. We used to do OBs, yeah, not all the time, but a fair bit, you know, about 6 or 7 a year, and we'd be out in a park somewhere in the middle of nowhere, or out in the bush, you know, and you wake up in the morning and it's 6 degrees. What's it like in Tenerfield this morning?
Not very far off zero, one. It's fresh. Fortunately, the heater in the car is going well. But just the sunrise out here, Mac. If you've travelled this road at dawn, you know, you come out of the dark and through the fog, and then the sun's coming up. You've got the granite ranges and everything, and the frost on the ground, and it's just indescribable, man. That's the thing I miss when I'm in Thailand. I miss this part of Australia. I don't miss what Australia's becoming. I'm very sad to see it's not the Australia I grew up in as a kid, but I guess every country has to develop in their own way. But, if you get anyone ringing up saying, oh, I can't get a job and I'm on the dole or whatever, just get out on the farms. Just go out west. Have a look at Facebook. Can you sit in a tractor for 10 hours and not hit a tree and stay off your phone? Which, you know, it's like, it's not, and most of the farms will provide accommodation, so housing crisis, tick. Wages, good.
Yeah.
I'm working with a young backpacker at the moment who's come down on a German flight. Great guy. I laugh at him and say, mate, I'm 65, you're 34. Our ancestors were throwing explosives at each other, you know, and here we are having a beer. It's just amazing. But he's cracker of a bloke. He's come down with a target of saving 100,000 over his 2 year working holiday visa. How many people in jobs in Australia can say they've saved $100,000? In 2 years. Yeah,
exactly. If you work hard, you can do it. And the wages are pretty good out there, I'd reckon, Chris.
Yeah, mobile, without being specific, anywhere from 30 to 55, 60 an hour, depending where you are, what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then, like where I was working up in the territory, all meals were provided. So you're on a farm, you're not buying food, you got work vehicles, the work is good long hours every day. Being in the territory during the dry season was just amazing. The fellow rang up from Tennant Creek before.
Yeah.
He sort of nailed it. It's just magic days up there, you know. And
yeah,
1st of July they do go a little bit bonkers.
good on you, Chris. Great to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, so I've just gone past the speed camera coming into Tenerfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this certain song rattling around in my head, something about a saddler or something. Huh? I don't know if you have a request.
I'll try and find it for you. What's the name? Yeah, all right, I'll play it. Yeah. Good on you, Chrissy.
Okay, thanks, mate. Catch
See you, mate. Bye. Cheryl's in Terrell. Good morning, Cheryl.
Morning, Macca.
How you going?
Good, thank you. First time caller. Promised myself I'd call you. A friend and I, about a week ago, just completed Googs Track from Ceduna to Nitakula in South Australia. Fantastic track. A family went and put a dozer through over 250 sand dunes, and it's just phenomenal to do. Great.
How far?
200 kilometres.
Wow.
And you stop halfway at the lake, and it was like the only people around for at least 200 kilometres was beautiful.
And you take a backpack with you and your own food and stuff, do you?
Oh, yes, in a four-wheel drive with all the security and, extra this and that. But when you get to the other end, Takula is a town that...
it's on the Transline.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we've been to Takula.
And Kingunya, beautiful little place. Camped there, and there was a little cafe, and we went in there for breakfast, and they'd taken the walls off, and a teacher had used it as a classroom, and there was all these blackboard drawings, and they were absolutely beautiful, the 1 and 1 plus 2 and ABC around the walls of this little cafe, I don't know how many years ago. But then we just chose towns that we hadn't been to and went to them. We got as far north as Packsaddle before they started closing the roads, so we had to head south, and they were closing the roads all the way behind us after that. but absolutely fantastic trip, just doing towns that you hadn't been to and through them, finding all the silos, paintings. And
Pack Saddle, the horses, the big horse statue in Pack Saddle. Yep.
But, the people you meet along the road and, it's just great to get out there in the outback. There's no two scenes the same.
No, exactly. We'll have to, put that on our list of things to do. There's nobody at Tarcoola, is there, now?
No.
There was somebody there a while ago. We talked to some people there about 20 years ago. They were still living there. But, they moved on. But it's nice out there, isn't it? Beautiful. Thanks.
It's beautiful, yes.
Lovely, Cheryl. Good on you.
Okay, thanks, Macca.
Nice to talk to you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
I should have asked you. Are you still there, Cheryl?
Yes.
Is it cool in Traralgon this morning?
Yes, it is a little bit. I don't know what the temperature is, but yes, it is. It's not frosty.
All right, good on you.
Okay, thanks, Macca.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
G'day, this is Macca.
G'day, Macca. How are you going?
I'm good.
This is Chris. I'm up from Devon in the Hunter Valley. I met you quite a few years ago, Macca, when you did your OB from Musselbrook. I don't know if you remember. It was bitterly cold.
It was -4, actually, Chris, I think.
Well, I'm on a thoroughbred horse breeding facility up here, Macca. I don't know if you remember me. I spoke to you about the morning that I had. It was a beautiful, frosty morning, as it is this morning, about 1 degree here this morning, and I'm just out checking some cattle, actually, Macca, just to make sure they had no calving problems during the night. And I don't know if you remember, Macca, that morning at Musselbrook, Carol Hutcham was there, the Australian champion bush poet.
Oh, that's right, yes, and she recited a poem.
Yeah, that's right. Well, she actually came for a drive out to the property with me just to have a look at the horses and stuff and around this lovely property that I work after the OB. We had a great morning.
Chris, what's your job? Or is it your place or...?
No, I actually work on a thoroughbred horse breeding facility that's owned by an Arabian sheik, and I was on the horses here for many years, Macca, for sort of 30-odd years. I was the manager breeding the horses, and I called myself semi-retired. Now I've moved over to the farming side of things, and now I plant seed and grow grass and do cattle work and still do a little bit with the horses every now and again, which is good, but I've sort of taken a step back and semi-retired, so life's pretty good at the moment, Macca.
Yeah, it sounds it. And when you're out there, I mean, I think having a winter where it's, gets down to, say, 0 or 5 degrees is really important. I think it's good. Like, for instance, good for citrus. It sets the fruit. It's good for cherries. A cherry farmer told me that cold weather is good for the trees in the winter because you get a better crop in spring and summer with cherries if you've had a good, nice, cold winter, which is good for the trees, good sets the fruit. That's when you should pick the oranges after you've had a good cold snap.
Yeah, that's right, Macca. And it's nice to live in a place where there's 4 distinct seasons. We can get to sort of -2, -3 here, and then in summertime we can sort of get to 43, 44. So as the gentleman caller said before, he looks forward to winter, then he looks forward to summer. We're a little bit the same here, but it's a beautiful morning here, Macca. Very foggy, light patchy frost, but yeah, it's just a lovely place to be.
Oh, mate. Are you out there now on your horse?
No, not on my horse, mate, just in my four-wheel drive, just between paddocks at the moment, trying to find the cattle in the fog is a bit of a challenge, but, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Chris, yeah. I'll see you. And your whereabouts is your place? Near Denman, is it?
Up near Denman, in between Drury's Plains and Denman, Macca, up in the Hunter Valley, New South Wales.
I'll call in there one day. I've got your number now, I think. Have we got Chris's number? I'll give you a ring. See if you're around.
We do quite a few stud tours and stuff, Macca, so you'd be most welcome.
All right, mate. Good on you, Chris. Great to talk to you.
See you, Macca. Bye, mate.
Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Oh, g'day, Macca. It's David here from Canoundra. How are you going?
Not bad, mate. What's up?
I just come down from Orange down the Cargo Road. Left this morning at just before dawn, scraped the ice off the windscreen and watched the mist rise and the sun. I heard one of your other guests talking about the sunrise. Boy, you got to pinch yourself to make sure it's really happening. How lucky we are out here in the bush, I have to say. You know all about that.
Yeah.
But I thought you'd like to know, Macca, I've just been attending a meeting at Orange, an annual meeting of volunteers that work for the Country Education Foundation. And what we do is raise money through 50-odd committees that were now in every state of Australia, and we give students grants. There are a lot of students in the bush who face real challenges compared with their city cousins, getting from school, they leave school, and getting to uni is a real battle, and it's travelling hundreds of kilometres. Anyway, we've been going 33 years. We've helped 8,000 kids, and we've got everyone from country doctors through to plumbers and carpenters and you name it. We're so proud that they've come through the Country Education Foundation. And I thought people generally would like to know that we're working to try and get education into the bush and make it easier for these young people to learn. And no one will argue that education is not a good thing. I mean, there's just no argument against it. And I'm a great fan of your show, and I was driving through this beauty this morning. I thought, I'm going to give Macra a ring. I'm a first-time caller, but keep doing what you're doing. Your show is fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
David, thank you very much. It's very humbling when you say that. That was Chris this morning when he was out there at Tenterfield, where it's 1 degree. And, yeah, he did. He really nailed it, didn't he, looking at this. And,
oh, yeah.
And I haven't been out of the city for weeks and weeks and weeks, really, but I've been out there, you know, and especially on Sunday morning in the dark, we'd be somewhere in the park in Yagara or, you know, out in the middle of South Australia. And it's just, there's nothing like it. And often our techs set up our little table, you know, and whatever, and they put the lights on. I say, turn the lights off, because you're just out there in the dark. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful out there. And you can see the stars, like, you know, we're there at 5:30, and you can see the stars, and it's just, you know, there's 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 people at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're just like little pioneers, if you know what I mean. It's great.
Yeah, I do. Well, I tell my city friends, I'm a city boy. I came out here 30 years ago, retired from my city work, and we live at Boorowa now, halfway between Boorowa and Yass, and I say, oh, yeah, we see the sun rise in the morning, and we see the sun set, we have a Chardonnay on the hill and watch the header working and all that stuff. And they say, oh, geez, you're an accountant. I'm a retired accountant. They say, you're an accountant. You're only making 1.5% or 2%. I say, well, hang on a minute. If I put my granddaughter, age 6, on the back of the quad bike and we drive out in the morning under the mist and we stop and I say, look, Soph, see that black cow over there? You just watch her, and in front of her eyes, the cow drops a calf.
Wow.
How much is that, 10% a year? It's 20 to me, or 30%. Fabulous. Oh, gosh. She'll never forget it. She'll never forget it. But you know something? They say there's not a lot of money in the bush. No, the people who work in the bush work for modest wages. But there's a song called, and it goes, I think it's Roy Orbison. I'm just a country boy. Money have I none, but I've got silver in the stars and gold in the morning sun. That's me. That's why I love it here. And that's, I think, as I said, your show's fantastic. And
thank you,
man. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
You're
a legend.
Thank you. That song's by George McKern. And I've got it somewhere here because it's a great song. Lawsy used to play it years ago. And it's just a lovely song. I'll play it for you later when I find it, because I've got stuff all over the place here. But, Dave, nice to talk to you, mate. And thanks for taking the time and trouble to ring. It's people like you make our program, mate. It's the listeners that make the program. See ya.
Good on you, Macca. Thanks.
See ya. G'day, this is Macca.
Yeah, g'day, Macca. How you going, mate?
You good?
That's a go. You're Dean Cogle from Claremont, mate. How are you?
Dean, I'm good. What are you doing?
Mate, we're on the drag line here at Blair Athol. Out at one of the coal mines in Claremont.
Yeah, so it's a great Australian name, isn't it, Blair Athol? I remember reading about Blair Athol when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, she's a good old coal mine. She's kicked back into gear again. So, yeah, we're out here in the cold. Beautiful brisk morning here in Claremont.
And what's your gig, Dean? What do you do?
Dragline operator, mate, out here. So, yeah, we're on the big dragline.
Hard job to learn?
Oh, yeah, it takes a fair while. I've been doing it for about 30 years, but it's not too bad, yeah.
I flew over a coal mine once and saw the drag line. It's just an amazing sight, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they're a big machine, that's for sure. But no, I just want to say good day, mate. And so we've been listening to you for a long time, and appreciate you putting Taylor Swift on before, something different.
Well, she got married it's 4th of July over there. It's 5th here, but she got married to the footy bloke. What's his name?
Oh, there you go. I thought there must have been some context in your plane. Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's tied the knot. They're what you'd call a power couple, mate.
Yeah, righto. There you go.
I don't know what that means, but that's what they describe celebrity type people as, a power couple. Usually they're a power couple because they're really famous, or they're a power couple because they're billionaires or something like that. But
yeah, right. There you go.
Tay-Tay's tied the knot, mate. So there you go.
Very good. All exciting. She's all happening.
All right, mate.
No, good on you, Macca.
Thanks, Dean. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Thanks, mate. All right.
Bye. This is the All Over News. Certainly is the All Over News, and we're talking about music this morning. Mick Slocum rang me last week. He's a musician of long standing, plays all sorts of music. We talked about post boxes, but we also talked about music. Have a listen.
Mick Slocum here in Melbourne. How are you?
Mick Slocum, the musician?
Correct. Reinvented myself as a university lecturer. Spoke to you about 18 months ago. I was telling you about my Victorian era pillar box restoration project, which has taken on a life of its own, scattered throughout Melbourne and the country towns such as Daylesford and Bendigo.
Pillar boxes are like post boxes, are they?
Yeah, post boxes, cast iron though, 150-year-old Victorian era pillar boxes.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening now, they'll start seeing them pop up everywhere because I've repainted them in red and gold, various colours, thanks to the wonderful Australia Post people and that paint company that starts with D. So they've been helping me out. I was approached by the University of the Third Age to do a lecture on the project, so I've done a deep dive into the casting process and where they were built and what makes them so remarkable. They're not just simply museum pieces standing on the street. They're relics, you know, admired at a distance, and they've stood the test of time and weather over 150 years.
Now, they're used by Australia Post?
Yes, some are still used and some aren't. Most of them have been decommissioned and locked up, and I've been able to open a couple that were actually already open, and I've had a key made for one or two. Mm. And but I haven't been able to open any others. I'm not sure, but I'm hoping one day that one of the keys will fit and I'll open it and there'll be a whole stack of Victorian mail in it.
Yeah, from something from Ned from, Kelly. Ned right, Kelly exactly. Might have sent a message to Kate or something like Ned, that. Yeah, you never know.
Exactly, to his mother.
But he probably wouldn't have put a stamp on it, knowing Ned.
You never know.
How's your music? Are you still playing in bands? And
yeah, I'm still playing.
And how is the music business? I'm always interested. Mick, I know you, and I know of you.
Well, everything changes, Mac. Nothing can stay the same. And I think that the streaming services and the ready availability of musical content whenever you want it at the drop of a hat has changed the music business forever.
Yeah.
But it's extraordinary when you listen to the radio or you go onto the YouTube, the incredible amount of creative talent that is still creating wonderful music and fabulous playing. Unbelievable. It's just, unfortunately, it's not as good remuneratively as it used to be. And, of course, you know, if it's inside you, if your music's in you, then you're compelled to do it. And as they say about learning a musical instrument, the first 20 years is the hardest.
Michael, you play all sorts of instruments, don't you?
I do. I play the concertina. I'm enjoying the concertina very much.
You haven't got it there with you, have you?
I do indeed have it with me, right beside me at the moment.
Just play us a little spasm of something.
Just a sec.
Yeah, this is Mick Slocum. We call him Mick Slocum. That's what I like. Dun, 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 dun.
Was that?
It's made my morning, mate. It was fabulous. That was Mick Slocum. He mentioned there, well, he was referring to AI and things like that. I have a letter here from Kevin Arnold, or an email, sorry. He says, heard your comments one Sunday regarding the Suno AI songs that have been sent to you. I thought I might offer a different perspective. I'm a recently retired farmer, says Kevin. I have always been musical, singer, and more recently songwriter. During the recent Longwood bushfires, when I wasn't getting any sleep, I started putting some of my lyrics I've had for years to music. It's the most fun you can have with your clothes on, and it's very cathartic and great for your mental health, particularly following a very traumatic event. Now, I understand your perspective that it's not someone standing and performing in front of a live audience as a traditional singer, but when you think of it, music, lyrics have been predominantly computer-generated and reworked and highly engineered for many, many years, with the result that huge corporations decide what we listen to. It's developed a blandness to it. Even an artist who has a unique, colourful style is turned into a bland, beige sameness. It's not unusual for a live artist to have not written either the lyrics or the music for a song, much the same as the current AI trend. You can actually write a song in Suno AI now using your own voice, and it's my intention to sing my own songs live. As you stated, many of these AI songs are really good and could be picked up by traditional singers and probably have already. You mentioned that anybody can write a poem now and make a song out of it. This has been happening for hundreds of years. My view is that people could be doing far worse things, given the horrible things happening in the world now. If a song is a good song, as you say, then it's a good song, regardless of its derivation. I've heard you play one from The Taxi Driver, and the Uber Driver, actually, Kevin, and the Emu one a couple of Sundays ago. It's interesting that you've had 30 or 40 sent to you. Two of them were from me. Two of my songs have been approved by the RSL for performing on Anzac Day, and I'm sure they won't mind me saying they are a fairly conservative organisation. If it means that corporations don't get the sole say in what we listen to, and the trend becomes more down-to-earth and relevant songs that matter to everyday people, I feel this is a great trend. Important messages of the people, by the people, and for the people. In my view, and I'm a traditionalist, it's just the next step in the evolution of music. And that's what Mick Slocum said, and a mate of mine said that to me the other day. I'm sure when someone crafted the first instrument, instead of banging rocks and hollow logs or music started becoming electronic or engineered in a studio, people were equally wary of the latest trends. Music has, however, always evolved, hopefully moving away from the over-engineered beige songs. It's a great word, isn't it, beige? On the upside, the grandkids are impressed Poppy is using AI. Thanks for doing what you do, Macca and Kel. It's probably getting a bit late for you to get a real job. You never know. You never know, Kev. Not sure you understand your vital role as contributing to the well-being and mental health of this wonderful country, or to your efforts in unifying communities and informing the world what Australia is really all about. Kevin says, the nation appreciates what you both do. If you get time in the near future, an outside broadcast in Longwood would be greatly appreciated, says Kevin Arnold. There are a lot of wonderful people here hurting very badly and suffering great loss and trauma, says Kevin Arnold in Longwood in Victoria. Cheers, mate, he says. Thank you, Kevin. We'll try and get down to Longwood and say good day. I'm inclined to agree with Kevin about music and about AI. And when you hear a song in AI, especially if the words are written by Kevin or our friend, our Uber driver in Cairns, they sound good. Have a listen to this one. Just play the start of this song, which I've played before. And I love the words, and I like the music, and I like the melody. I'll just play a bit of it. We don't play it all.
There's a voice on the highway, rolling in with the dawn. Been waking up Australia since before most of us were born. From the coast to the cattle runs, truckies to the tide, Macca's in the speakers, keeping everyone alive. Oh, Macca, Sunday morning feels.
So that was put into AI. Music moves on. Wherever you are, music moves on. It always has and it always will do. But as Mick Slocum said, it's very hard to monetize music anymore, except for the big names like Tay-Tay, etc. And while we're talking of music, this email from Eve Jones. I've just read and listened to the remarkable response you obtained for my daughter and I from Frank Marquette regarding the evocative song about his song Kelpie Co-Pilot. You remember I played it in the All Over News last week. And they said, look, we love that song and my daughter does music with kids and stuff, and how would we get the music? And anyway, so Frank sent the words and music. Eve says, I have tears of joy in my eyes. Such an exciting and generous gift of the song, the music and the recording. My daughter is singing with her choir tonight, and this was a couple of days ago, and I can't wait for her to read and hear this email. You all certainly epitomise Australia all over. Generous, creative, practical, and spanning the country. That one song tells a thousand stories of workers, their families, the dogs, love of home and country, the native fauna and landscape, a beautiful representation of a real Aussie life. Ever so grateful. And of course, we will thank the composer directly as well. That's Frank. A priceless gift, sharing the sound of Australia with the many young students in my daughter's music classes and choirs. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to listen on Sunday morning and to be able to contact you directly. Kindest wishes for your continuing good health and happiness and the joyous Sunday program, says Eve Jones. Thank you, Eve. Music makes the world go round, kids. This is the All Over News, and about getting together, this from Carolyn Hogarth. I'm a member of the Executive Committee of the South Australian Rural Women's Gathering and on the Organising Committee for this year's gathering. It's the 30th anniversary of the group, and this year the gathering is in the City of Adelaide at the Intercontinental Hotel in October. The events can range from speakers to workshops of handcrafts, so a different town each year. Often rural women who come to Adelaide do so for appointments, medical or family, etc., and do not have the time to look at things they would like to see or do. Therefore, we've organised a program with a large variety of tours and workshops. Although our name says rural, not everyone has to be from the country. Some of us have retired to the city, and although it says South Australian, we know women from Victoria and New South Wales have attended during other years' gatherings. The gatherings, are a lot of fun and great friends are made. Should any listeners, that's you, be interested, they could contact me, Carolyn Hogarth, via email, which is hogarthcarolyn8@gmail.com, or see our Facebook postings, South Australian Rural Women's Gathering, says Carolyn Hogarth. So you don't have to be from the country. The more you get together, the better, I reckon. Good morning, Scotty.
G'day, Mac. How you going, mate? I got up and watched the moon go down, and I'm just waiting for the sun to come up now.
Are you an early riser, Scotty, or what's the story? You obviously
yes,
are.
Mac. Look, I retired on Valentine's Day. I had a little business in town here called the Caz Bar, which was a karaoke bar, which we ran for about 8.5 years, which is a good bit of fun. But now I've retired, I seem to wake up crack of dawn every morning. I don't know why. But look, the reason I'm calling is because I rang you in 2000. 26 years ago, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I've probably got a few more grey hairs than I did then.
I've missed you, Scotty. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I rang you from a Blue Reverse Chargers phone box in Punsand Bay on Cape York, and I actually said to you, you asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I'm going to the tip, Mega.
I remember it. Did you say because all Australians go to the tip on Sunday?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, God help me.
You played it for a few weeks afterwards, always made me smile.
Yeah, and then, of course, now they've banned it. You can't go to the tip now and fossick around. You've got to have a license, and it's gone to the dogs. Anyway, go on.
I remember going with my dad years ago, and we usually end up going home with more stuff than we took. Now they have piles of fridges and piles of irons, so people can come and take it away and recycle it, which is a good thing, but we formed a band during COVID.
As you do, yeah.
We're called the Rennies.
What's the name of the band?
The Rennies.
The Rennies, yeah.
As in the indigestion tablet. We try not to repeat on you.
G'day, this is Macca.
G'day, Macca. My name's Emma, and I'm travelling through the Bungle Bungles at the moment with my family.
Oh, wow, that's a lovely thing. I've never been to the... I've flown over the Bungle Bungles, but I haven't been to the Bungle Bungles, Emma. You've got the kids and you're on holes from where?
Yeah, we are. So we left home back in Feb, and home is Mandurah, Western Australia, and we've sort of packed up and hit the road, and we're, travelling Australia full-time.
You hear people do that, but... That's a big thing to do, Em. Why did you do that? I mean, the kids, how old are the kids?
So we've got an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old. So it's school of the air for us and, learning on the road.
And school of the back seat, as some people call it.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's good. We've got a business, so that keeps the income going and everything, but we're just so fortunate to be out here exploring this beautiful country.
Well, yes, I know some kids who'd love to do that. I think it's a great education, isn't it, really? You get to see what the place is all about. You don't really learn that, I think, sitting in front of a screen or in a city. It's great to travel, as Marco...
It sure is.
Marco Polo said... travel broadens the mind. I don't know if he said that, but he...
Oh, I don't know.
He was that great intrepid explorer. Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, years it doesn't ago. Take much to entertain them. Just a few sticks and, they're happy.
Yeah, so tell us about the Bungle Bungles. Do you fly over that or you drive around in there?
No, so we're driving. So we left at 5 a.m. this morning from just a roadside rest area because you can't take your caravan in.
Mm.
And the road is just corrugated. It takes 2 hours to get in. You're doing about 30 k's an hour. Yeah, so it's slow going. We've just pulled over to have a chat to you because it's too badly corrugated. And, yeah, we're going to see the northern part of the trails and the southern. So Echidna Gorge and Cathedral and everything.
What? How long are you going to stay on the road for, Emma?
We're not too sure. A year or two. We'll just how we go, really. Yeah, we're not sure.
Wow. That's, yeah, not many people can do that, Em.
No, we're really fortunate. We've got a business. My husband has a rubber lining sort of gig, so it's mining, contracting out, and got a few guys that work for us, so it helps. It all helps.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, if you can do it, I think it's a good thing to do, and good for the kids too. Have you been out travelling before, Emma, or is this first time for you as well?
No, so I grew up listening to yourself, and we did quite a lot of travel when I was younger, just, you know, family winter holidays to escape in the old caravan with my family. But no, I kind of wanted to do that with my kids and husband, and yeah, we're doing it now, and the kids love listening to you, and yeah, it just brings back so many memories for myself.
Well, that's great, Em.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a pleasure. That's a pleasure. I love talking to Australia, and I love the fact that people ring up here and everybody else can hear them. So everybody gets a handle on all sorts of things that we don't know about before. And it's
that's right.
And it's first, it's out of the mouths of babes, if you know what I mean. It's not been concocted. People just ring up and talk, and or they send me an email about whatever. And it's different. It's a bit different experience, Emma, and I think that's why people embrace it in lots of ways. Do your kids listen to music? What do they listen to?
Oh, all sorts. Macca, Slim Dusty, Taylor Swift, John Williamson, anything that we're playing, they listen and they know the words.
Yeah, I played Taylor this morning. She got married yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, today over there, and she got married on the 4th of July, July 4.
Yeah, July, yes.
And, yeah, she got married to the football player. Yeah, what's his name? Is it Kyle?
Yeah, Travis Kelsey, I think.
Travis, yeah. So, I played that earlier this morning. I can't play it again, but tell the kids to keep listening.
I will. Hey, can I just let my daughter, Luana, say a quick g'day? She loves listening.
Yeah, sure. Luana, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
G'day, Macca.
G'day, Luana. How are you going?
I'm going good.
Good. Is it cool? Was it cool there this morning? And we're at the Bungle Bungles.
It's getting to 30 degrees today.
Oh yeah, that'll be warm. Yeah, that'll be warm. But it is winter. But bit cooler this morning, I suppose.
Yeah.
So how's life on the road, Luana?
It's very nice. Getting to explore places rather than getting stuck in mainstream school.
Yeah, well, it's a great experience. You'll be able to tell when you go back to school. What school do you go to? You go to school in Mandurah, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you go back to school, if you ever go back, you'll be able to tell them all about it, and you'll be able to stand up in front of the class and say, well, look, I went here and here, and you can tell them little stories about who you met and what you saw, and they'll be fascinated. That'll be good. So you can, while you're travelling, you can prepare a little speech and say, well, I'm going to tell the kids this, and you can tell your best friends, and it's all in front of you, Luana. You there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And your name is Luana, is that right?
Luana.
Luana, sorry. All right, yep, good. Luana. Well, Luana, and you've got you got a brother, have you, or another sister? Or?
I have a brother.
And what's his name?
Aiden.
Aiden, okay. All right, Luana, nice to talk to you. Enjoy your trip. And say good day to Mum and Dad and Aiden, and maybe I'll catch up with you sometime, eh? You never know.
Yeah.
All right, and I'll play you a song sometime. So I played Taylor Swift this morning. You like Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
And John Williamson and Slim Dusty. There's a trio for you. There's a trio. All right, Luana, nice to talk to you. Thank you for your call, and thanks, Mum, too.
You're welcome.
Aren't they lovely? Good on you. Nice to talk to you. See you later.
See you later, Macca.
Bye. This is more a how I live, where I live, although the why and the wherefore sneaks into it. I won't tell you who it is, and I won't tell you where it is, but have a listen. I live simply, without a TV, radio or stereo. And by the way, this was written 25 years ago. I wonder if people still live off the grid. Anyway, I live simply without TV, radio, etc. on 100 acres of land. My city friends think it's primitive. Some of it's lightly forested, the rest former grazing land that I'm slowly planting out with a variety of coastal trees, banksias, bubiala. Isn't that a great name, bubiala? Tea tree, she oak, hakea, over 1,200 so far. Electricity hasn't reached this part of the place. And only recently have I been able to afford a telephone cable stretched up my mile-long driveway. I use candles a lot. Every night is a candle-lit dinner. Two sides of the property are ocean frontage, where one side begins, then slowly rises, wraps itself around a corner, then continues up the second side until it ends somewhere along a drafty cliff face, above which sea eagles and wedgies hang about steady as kites on a string. There's something romantic about living next to the sea. To come to the sea for a day is romantic enough, but to be at the sea every day is to fill one's life with every romance possible, possibly too much. Possibly even dangerous if the sea were to make an approach at such a tiny creature as I. This reminds me of the bloke who said, a man without a fire is a man without a life. And he used the fire for all sorts of things, for heating and watching it like his TV. Anyway, we continue. Oh, I do love the land and the trees and the stones. They speak of me, earthy and dependable, sturdy. On land I can stomp my foot, build a tower, be a king. Yet it's the water that pulls me to my deepest secrets. Always I look to the sea with a desire to plunge homeward through those full-breasting waves and finally embrace the blue-green centre of a longing I've never felt totally at one with or even understood. Is it a fear of rejection that stops me? 10 years ago, when I taught at the university, I designed and lived in a 3.5-storey house that stood on a hill. That house burnt down. My home's on a different hill now, in a bus camouflaged to hide among the trees. As for she-oaks, the she-oaks wrapped in a seaborne mist spoke to me this morning, and a wave of sorrow entered me as odd as anything is old, a sorrow that spoke of the pain of the death of someone cared for. The mist later cleared to a brilliant afternoon and revealed the exquisite otherness that surrounds us as well. I put down my carving tools, grabbed my wetsuit and boogie board, and rode the sun-reflected rip out to catch a new sort of wave. Oh, how I love the depth of feelings this place allows and the differences between them. You almost get jealous, don't you, of someone who lives in a place like that, who's surrounded by water and trees and surf and all sorts of things. And to conclude, our correspondent says, last week I received in the mail a photograph taken at my graduation from university over 25 years ago. It shows my three roommates and myself. We are all handsome young men. Now two are dead. I look out past the photo pinned up on my shelf by a window and out through the trees to the ocean beyond. The water today is as calm as this water ever gets. Not being the least excited, it lays flat under an invisible sky, barely breaking a wave onto the shore. Tommy, one of my friends, died of AIDS, Bobby from a heart attack. The rain stopped an hour ago, leaves still harbour droplets of water that drip only when a breeze moves them along. Another roommate not shown in the photo has been in and out of mental homes most of his life. There is a mist on the hilltop just back of the bus, rolling in off the ocean. Perhaps, as Robert Bly says, there's a consciousness within the mist. Perhaps my weeping comes from it. This from Paula. It's a card. She says, Sunday mornings are one of the highlights of my week. Radio on at 5:30, early for me, but worth it. It really is Australia all over in this wonderful country and the world. I love where I live, she says. I'm grateful every day my parents uprooted themselves and left everyone and everything behind in 1947, Hungary. They arrived in 1949 and loved this country for the remainder of their lives. I was born at Paddington Maternity Hospital, now the Prince of Wales campus, Randwick. I've lived in Bondi Junction a long time, happily in a unit with visiting lorikeets and kookaburras to my balcony, park nearby, lots of trees and coastline nearby also. So very lucky to have grown up here. Good education, work, and now retirement to continue to love where I live, says Paula. Thank you, Paula. That's lovely. We've been listening to your program since 1985, and I thought it was about time to write to you and thank you for your show, says Rhonda and Steve Warren. We've experienced a lot of joy listening to your program during the past 41 years. We used to watch our little children dance to your music on Sunday mornings, and those children are now in their 40s. During that time, we have mostly lived in Gordonvale, far north Queensland. We did spend 5 years living in Normanton in the Gulf of Carpentaria from December 87 to January 93. My husband worked for the electricity board and was kept busy constantly, going out to stations and far-flung places to fix any outages on the lines and poles. During that time, we travelled long distances in our car to visit family, so your cassettes of Australia All Over were constantly playing in the car, in between play school cassettes for the kids. My husband has just retired after 51 years working for Ergon Electricity. What a champion. Your show is a constant in our lives. Every Sunday, no matter where we are, thanks to ABC Listen. There's probably lots of stories I could tell you over the years. We now live in Gordonvale at the foot of Walsh's Pyramid, where there's a race every August, the Great Pyramid Race. That would be a great time for you to visit our beautiful little sugar town that is built around the Mulgrave Sugar Mill, which is the heartbeat of this town. The season of sugar harvest has just started, and the air smells sweet as the Mulgrave Mill crushes and processes the sugar. I love the smell, says Rhonda. Anyway, after all these years and listening to lots of Love Where I Live, we love living in our beautiful little town, surrounded by mountains and sugarcane. It's very hot and humid in summer, but just beautiful now during our winter, 15 to 25 degrees C most days. That's why we live where we live, and we love it. Thanks again. God bless, says Rhonda and Steve Warren. If you'd like to write to Why I Live Where I Live, Post Office Box 9994, Sydney 2001, or send us an email. That's Why I Live Where I Live for this week. G'day, this is Macca.
Yeah, Macca, it's Barry. I'm ringing you from Mount Augustus up in the Pilbara.
Oh, Mount Augustus.
Yep, and I'm running a bird-watching tour through the Pilbara for a small group of people, and we're just sitting around the remnants of the campfire from last night, just watching the sun start to highlight the rock, Mount Augustus.
It's a bit like the rock, isn't it? There are the other rock, but it's an amazing piece of I don't know if it's granite. What's it made of? Granite? It wouldn't be granite. It'd be some sort of sandstone, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Well, this is a mixture. That's the difference. This is a mixture. You've got a bit of granite. You've got sandstone. So it's but it has a lot more foliage on it. So when you're looking at it, we're on the eastern side of it. So the sun's coming up at our backs, and it's just as it comes down, a bit like when you're out at the other rock, as the sun hits it, it just changes the colour and you start seeing the transformation of it to its daylight state.
You're a bird watcher, is that right,
well,
Barry?
I'm not. I'm a tour guide, but I'm running a bird watching tour. We've got 10 people that we've taken through the Pilbara, and they've been watching and recording different species of birds as they find them. So they're up to about 61 species of birds that they've identified on this trip.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? It's a place you've got to see them. You won't see them in the suburbs anymore. But there used to be a lot of different birds in my suburb, but not anymore. So, Barry, how long have you been doing this?
Well, this trip's a 13-day trip. We've got three more days before we head back down towards Perth. Yeah, I've been tour guiding for 20-plus years. Taking small groups and doing different things, but different. This one's a tour guide, as I say, is a bird watching.
Yeah.
And we have a ornithological expert on board, and he's the one that's really picking out the birds and helping them identify sounds. And as they spot a bird, he'll give them a pretty well 100% spot on identification of it. And
well, it's a great place to be. Is Mount Augustus a particular place for good bird watching, is it?
No, we've been all over. We started out at Marble Bar. Uh-huh. So we headed out from Newman up through Marble Bar. So we've been right away the way across through the back of Carrageenie. And then we're here. We've been here for the last 2 days, so we've done the walks into the base of Mount Augustus to different trails.
Oh, to be out there, Barry. To be out there, mate. But you've been doing it all your life. You're probably used to it. But for those of us who get out there occasionally, it's just memories, mate, memories.
It is. But, I mean, I was just thinking, I've been listening to you since back in the mid-80s
yeah.
when I lived in different country towns, and this time I actually found a phone box, and I thought, I've got to ring the phone box.
You're not in a phone box at Mount Augustus, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm in a phone box at Mount Augustus.
Who put that in there, for God's sake?
Well, it's got Telstra plastered all over it, so actually, the first time I came to Mount Augustus, probably 20, 25 years ago, this was the only thing that you could ring from. We had no service. We now have a bit of Telstra service for your mobile phone. But when I saw the phone box, I thought, I've been thinking of doing this for so long, I better ring you.
Barry, you better send us a note. We'll send you a T-shirt. I can hear the Corellas in the background. Sounds like, where were we, Kel? Well, Corellas in... where Oppie lived. We were in Rochester and we did an OB, and there were Corellas everywhere, making a racket. They're nice birds, eh?
Well, this fox just decided to come over, now I'm on the phone.
Listen, get in touch with us and we'll send you a T-shirt, okay?
All right, mate, we'll do.
And what size are you? You have to be. Actually, we've only got, what have we got left, Kels? Mediums or something, haven't we? Yeah, we've got a medium.
Well, if I grab the medium, I'll give it to my wife because she listens to you religiously. She'll pick up this conversation a bit later on today.
Well, send us an email and we'll with your address and your details, we'll send you one.
All right. Thanks, mate.
See you, Baz.
Have a good time.
Bye. G'day, this is Macca.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your name?
My name's Greg.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just letting you know that I'm doing something very special today. Very special.
Tell us.
I'm driving a car today at Sandown Raceway. They have a day there. I'm blind. I can't see. And I drive around Sandown Raceway today.
Wow. What's that called? What's the name of that day?
Vision Australia. Vision Australia. And the Lions Club of Warrandyke pay for it.
Oh, right. The Lions are big on helping people visually impaired, aren't they?
Yes, certainly are. So I get to drive. This is my 25th year of doing it. I drive around in Toyota Corollas most of the time. They're learner vehicles, so you've got dual pedals if you need any help. But I used to be a truck driver, so I know how to drive. I just need someone to be my eyes.
And how did you lose your sight?
I lost my eyesight 31 years ago. I was a passenger in a truck as the time rolled over.
My
head got squashed and lost the eyesight. Got my nerves broken.
Dear, oh dear. So you're enjoying that, aren't you?
Oh, tremendous. To be sitting behind a wheel, changing gears, always trying to get a manual little gearbox, 6-speed manual, and I have an absolute ball. Also, they have us riding on the back of a motorbike as well.
Yep.
2 laps around the track on the back of a motorbike. And, yeah, it's an eventful day. I look forward to it for months and months and months. And
I bet you do. Like,
it's really, really exciting. But, yeah, I just want to call you. I've been avid listener of you, Ian, for 20-something years, and I've always said I'm going to ring up, and then I thought, I'm going to ring up and tell them I'm going to go to drive in a car today.
Greg, do many people go to that? Do they get a crowd there to do what you're doing?
About 200.
Wow.
Visiting people drive today.
Uh-huh. And it's called, what's it called, driver's seat or something?
Yeah, Vision Australia driver's seat.
There you go. Isn't it? Well, that's a wonderful thing. And I can see why driving is just a wonderful, everybody loves to drive, most people love to drive their car, and it takes you places. So,
driving instructor sits next to you and just tells you left, right, up gear, down gear, accelerate, brake. You can turn right 9 degrees in 10, 5, 4, 3, now turn right and drive around the track. You actually drive the car around the track.
Isn't that great? Greg, you'll have a great time. It's cool. You're in Melbourne this morning, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, it'll be quite fresh this morning there.
Oh, it doesn't worry if it's snowing, mate. I'm going to have a ball today, so I'll keep going.
Well, it won't No, you don't want it snowing, mate. You'll be slipping and sliding everywhere. But
that's true. But anyway, I have a lot of fun there. It's all a lot of volunteers organise the whole thing for the day. They have a lot of different things. They have old Peter Brock's Commodores there, and they take the hot rod lap around the track in one of Peter Brock's old Commodores. And, yeah, very, very eventful day.
Oh, sounds like a lovely day, mate. A lovely day. Good on you, Greg, and thanks for telling us all too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's a pleasure, mate.
Goodbye all.
See? He said nice. Goodbye all, he said. Goodbye all. Stuart Roach. G'day. Stuart Roach. How are you, Stuart?
Hello, Macca. How are you? Good?
Good. Where are you calling from?
We just landed. We arrived into Los Angeles. So I'm actually now at the Crew Hotel. I'm at Pasadena now. So we had a good run-up.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a few ABC people on board. I heard you the other day talking about kids coming up to the flight deck after landing.
Yeah.
And because it's school holidays, we had a lot of kids come up to visit. So we sit them in the seat with their hat on and get a photo with mum and dad. And there was one family from, I think they produced the Muster Dogs, which is an ABC program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of our fellows is marrying the girl from Muster Dog, so that's how I got a note to look after them.
Well, there you go. So you're still on the road, Stuart, aren't you? Or in the air, if you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. I've nearly four decades, though, so it almost finishes soon. But I'm still enjoying it. It's still good fun. And it was good, as you said the other day, folks coming up. There's a couple of young fellas there, and one fellow wanted to be a pilot. He sat in the seat. We gave him a few little bits and pieces, and unfortunately, they can't come up during the flight like they used to. But after landing, they come up and have a look about. And beautiful weather up here, though. 72 degrees Fahrenheit, so 22, and clear and sunny. Summertime.
Lots of people flying because of the World Cup to LA. Is that your run basically in America? Well, is it?
Oh no, I do. Well, the next I get home, I've only got a couple of days off, and I go up to Dallas. I think. The Egypt-Australia Socceroo game was in Dallas the other day. It's pretty hot in Dallas at the moment, though. Texas gets hot. I think it's up around 38 degrees Celsius. So that's my next trip up. So I'm guessing I'll be bringing a heap of soccer fans home.
Yeah, there was just a thing on the news saying they're about to come home. Yeah, so great sadness around the place because of the loss.
It's a bad way to lose the penalty shootout, but that's the game of soccer. But most of the people coming up here were Disneyland and that sort of stuff, I think.
Yeah, but in some ways, I was thinking about it the other day, that the penalty shootout is much more exciting than any other part of the game because they're usually tapping the ball back to him and back to him and trying to find an... But the penalty shootout is, you know, you think, is he going to kick it or is he going to miss it? Is he going to save it or is he going to? In lots of ways, people say, you know, that about the penalty shootout, but it's the pinnacle of the whole game, isn't it? And this is it all, all depends on only about, you know, a couple of minutes and then the whole thing will be decided and there's got to be a result. So sometimes soccer gets a bit boring when they just tap it and tap it and tap it and tap it.
Well, some of those falls and those feigned injuries, they're the work of Hollywood, some of them, when they fall over and roll around like they've been hit by a car.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, it's quite a bizarre game. You've got to love it. The world loves it. The world loves football. It doesn't matter if it's gridiron or soccer or rugby league. The people are just obsessed with it, aren't they? It's football. Yeah. Football's the whole deal.
Well, up here in the States particularly, we're just talking as we came in, there's... wintertime, you know, they go into the Crypto Arena. They've got the ice hockey, and of course, in the States, it's a really big show. There's more entertainment than there is sport, really.
Yeah, I'll say. The ice hockey—that's interesting game too, isn't it? Where they bash, they go hell for leather. And the football season will start there. What in autumn, doesn't it? I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's Well, I think one of their famous footballers got married yesterday, didn't he? He's married to a singer. But
some singer. I can't remember her name. Yes, he
I
did.
I don't mind the music, actually.
But, no, well, some of, yeah, she's good. And I think she gave, a bloke rang me this morning because somebody criticised and said these rich people should give away money. I think she gave away $30 million the other day. But then again, she can afford it.
Well, up here in Oh, Pasadena. Oh, I was going to mention something, and I forgot what it was there. I just lost my train of thought. That's I think it's sitting up all night.
Well, exactly. I know exactly how you feel, mate, but it's not sitting up all night. Well, it sort of is. So, you know, you don't get I don't get a lot of sleep on Saturday night or Sunday morning, about 3 or 4 hours.
Well, what time do you get up? About 3, I'm guessing, do you?
Yeah, about 3:15, depending. Sometimes if you can't sleep, but, yeah, and you drive in. And there's a lot of things, and we have a lot of calls, so you're talking to all sorts of people about all sorts of things, and you're trying to remember, because you're trying to keep the conversation going, so you're trying to remember people say something and then you click and you try and think of something. Like this morning, a bloke rang about Christine Davey. I think she was the first commercial pilot and she flew Fokkers, I think.
Yep.
And so to tell us about that. But, yeah, all the, you just need to keep thinking of things and, you know, sometimes it's like Paul McCartney's album, Memory Almost Full. and not only – it needs a reboot from time to time, Stu.
Yeah, well, about 3 a.m. we were just north of the equator going around a bit of weather, so you lose track of what time it is, and it's a funny old life floating around. Well, it's evening here now, so my crowd, because it's the 4th of July up here, so this is a big one. It's 250 years since independence, 1776, so they should be something spectacular. We're going to try and find somewhere for dinner. So we're probably Mexican, I think, tonight. That's the most common food in California.
Yes, and look, I'd love to be there. And look, the more I read about the War of Independence and see, and it's just it's no wonder the Yanks just appreciate freedom like no others, because they had to fight for it, and that. Like a lot of things in Australia, that comes down through the years, and you can feel it in the people. They're like that, and they appreciate this, that, and the other. But you know, freedom. That's why America is what it is today. I think because of that war all the way back then, and they've had some funny times, and they had and then look at the Civil War. But I'm a big fan of America for all of its warts. We all have warts, but. Yeah, so it's a big day today, a big day for the Americans today, July 4, and away they go. So you'll be fated, mate, as soon as you say g'day, mate. They'll say, you're from Australia.
Well, I'll guarantee you I don't see any flag burning up here, that's for sure. They're very patriotic folks up here. There's none of that silly business that we sometimes see at home, which is a bit disappointing.
I'll say. Stuart, great to talk to you. I'll catch up with you, I hope. We'll have a...
Yep.
We'll go well, down.
I can call you from the ground. I haven't been banned from that, so I'll speak to you again when I can.
Yeah, all right. It's great Good to hear you. From you. Good on you, Stuart.
Good on you. Thanks, Ian.
See you, mate. Bye.
Look out yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye. 1300 700 222. G'day, this is Macca.
Hello there, it's Rick here, Macca, from Billawheeler in Queensland.
G'day, Rick.
How you going?
Yeah, not bad, mate. What's happening in Billow?
I'm just on my way down to Dhurrumbandy. We're heading down to Dhurrumbandy for work.
And what's work?
Shearing sheep.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. We're down. I went home for the weekend to pick up a couple of my girls. I come back for school holidays for a week or so to come down and do a bit of shed life.
Now, I'm assuming that shearing is not what it used to be in terms of the number of sheep in Australia, but you're obviously a busy boy.
Yes, it's not as busy as it used to be, but if you follow them around a bit, there is plenty of work around. Just got to do a bit of travelling, that's all.
Yeah, and that's good too. I think it's nice to travel around. Nice to get out and about, I reckon, Rick.
It's a good job for that. Yeah, you can work and have a look around at the same time.
Yeah. Do you see many coloured sheep around the place?
Yeah, you do see a few. Black and white ones. Not a lot of just plain black, but you do see a few black and white ones around at times.
And brown ones and, all sorts of things.
Yeah. They're
quite unique. I like the look of them, actually. I saw one the other day with a couple of big horns on him and, he was sort of browny, blacky, whitey and a bit of everything. But it was, he had a bit of character, I thought.
Yeah, no, they do. They look, especially after you shorn them, too, they look very spotty and dappily, but I don't know whether too much wool spinning goes on anymore.
No. Well, it's like a lot of those arts, it's a lost art, but people still do it. You find, like, the sheep and wool show's on in Bendigo, I think, in a couple of weeks, And if you go down there, you'll see people on their treadles and their spinning wheels, and they'll be spinning wool and talking and doing all sorts of things. And so you'll see them down there. And there's a bit of sheep shearing down there too. Do you ever go to that?
Yeah, I haven't been to that, but I'm originally from Victoria, down Amphitheatre near Ballarat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've never been to the actual wool show and that there at Bendigo, but I have heard about it, yeah.
So what's on that? What's on this morning? How many sheep will you be shearing down at Billow?
We're just out of Roma now, and we'll get down to Doorumbandy. We start down there tomorrow, so we're there for another 2 or 3 days, and then move on to another shed.
And how's your fitness?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It gets a bit harder as you get older, but. Yeah, still not too bad. It's like I say, it's a good lifestyle, so try and keep doing as long as you can.
And the sheep are bigger now, aren't they? Are you shearing merinos or?
Yeah, pretty much all merinos. Yeah, they are getting bigger, which is a bit harder to handle as you get older, but they are definitely getting bigger.
They are. They're huge, aren't they? From 50 years ago, which they were quite small, but now they're. They're huge, mate. You got to drag them out to you. You need an offsider to drag the sheep out for you, mate.
We do, yeah. Yes, most of it's still drag out. There is sheds now that you can. They'll just run down a race and you just grab them, sort of thing, and without having to drag them, they're right there.
Yeah,
pull them out on, yeah, which is a bit easier.
Yeah, well, so you're in Roma at the moment.
Yeah, just about. Right, just pulled off the side of the road. We're just about to Roma, and yeah, another 2 or 3 hours, we'll be down there.
How much do you pay for a cup of coffee around your way now?
Well, I don't buy a lot of coffee, but I think it's around that $4, something like that, $4.50 or something.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, it's about the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, it's
I remember I was in Roma 5 years ago and I was paying $5, but may have been an aberration.
No, I could have been, it could be around that now too. It varies a bit, depends where you are.
So you must be one of the you still drink coffee, but you just don't buy it. Is that the story? No, you're not a coffee drinker.
I do drink a bit of coffee, but yeah, I don't sort of buy a lot of coffee. I just sort of have a coffee at home or at work and that sort of thing. But yeah, I don't sort of buy it very often.
So yeah, well, good luck, Rick. It's nice to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, you too. Thanks very much.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later on.
See you, mate. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Look at the time. G'day. This is Macca.
Hi, Macca. This is Ainsley in Hinton near Morpeth, New South Wales.
Hi, Ainsley. How are you going?
Very well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to tell you about my amazing mum. We lost her a few years ago, but she was a mad weeder, and I think I've inherited that. So I was just out weeding listening to Ben and his nan, and I'm outside with my chocolate Labrador Ted, who's nearly 15. And I thought, yeah, I'm just going to pull a few more out, and I thought I might ring him, first time ever.
It's funny about weeds, isn't it? Because there'd be a lot of people. It's like everything, you know. I think about a lot of people wouldn't know a weed if they, yeah, they just wouldn't know. And we're all, but if you're obsessed by weeds, you just can't help yourself. Really, you see a weed and you just got to stop and pull it out. That's the way I feel. But it's really an affliction, I think, Ainsley. I'm not sure. You've probably got it from your mum.
You've got to avoid the godsends. Mum always said, "Don't know. That's not a weed. Stop it. It's a godsend." And you just go, funny. It's either a weed or a godsend, or she planted it, one of the three.
So you still go weeding?
Oh, yeah, we've got a very old, large garden. Our house is it's just over 200 years old. It was one of the first houses for the settlement near Morpeth. But there's always weeds. They're guaranteed.
Yeah, and where did you say you're at Hinton?
We're at Hinton, near Morpeth, so just outside of Maitland.
Uh-huh. So do you belong to a weeding group, because there's lots of weeding groups around now, because we were talking about that during the
I'd like to start one here. We should get some people to join my weeding group.
Yeah, well, it's not just pulling weeds. It's like it's a get-together thing. That's a good when people get together.
Yeah, there's some really nice planting groups around here that do a lot of the native vegetation, which is good to see.
Yeah, I'll say. Anything else to report, Ainsley, about where you live and your weeds?
No, there was a saying that I'll give to you. Growing up, you could either like cats, but you couldn't eat a whole one. So we've always been dog people.
Yeah, well, they take looking after too, don't they, dogs? I mean, I see people walking dogs now and I think, oh. Because when you've got a dog, you can't really travel and you can.
Yeah, you can. Just take them with you. It's like the guy in the truck this morning. You just.
Yeah, but he does that illegally, I think.
Yeah, well, I take mine to work every day. I think everyone should take them to work.
Well, I suppose so, yeah. But they're company.
It's a therapy.
They're great. Yes, they are. And if you've got a good dog, it's the way to go, I reckon, Ainsley.
Well, lovely to hear your voice. Have a great day.
Good on you, Ainsley.
Take care. Yours
in weeding. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I'd like to thank Antonia and Peter. And where's Tanya? She's in the other out-of-control room. And, of course, Lee Kelly, our producer. Stay tuned on ABC Radio. There you go. I hope you enjoyed our highlights package. If you want the full Monty, listen in every Sunday morning from 5:30 till 10 and tune into Australia. If you see me on the road, stop and say g'day. Contact me at macatracks@gmail.com. Talk to you Sunday.